We are on page Chaf Beis in the Pesachei Choshen. At the top, if I remember correctly, and there's no telling because it's been a few weeks since we learned, but if I remember correctly, last time we had finished Ted Zion and the comments on it, which had said that as long as the borrower has property, including household, he's obligated to use it to pay off his debt, and he should leave himself only that which a court would leave him when they do sidur, when they do this process of arranging assets for him that he gets to keep versus taking the rest. So now the Pesachei Choshen is going to discuss what exactly the sidur process looks like. How does this play out? So Ketzad Adin Sidur in Se'if Yud Zayin. How does Sidur work? What exactly is Sidur? Ein Mashirim Lo Ela Mazon L'Shloshim Yom Kebeinon Yishev Ba'ir. So you leave him only food for 30 days, like your average person in a city. And what we mean by that is there are the definition of food for 30 days is going to vary based on the individual, right? There are some people who will eat extravagantly, and then there are some people who will eat very little. So he says, go with whatever is considered normal in that city.
How do you have 30 days worth of food without refrigeration?
Right, so we're going to see that it isn't just food, but also the means to acquire the food.
Oh.
Yeah, it isn't just the food proper. Avalo li'ishto ubnei beso. However, we will not do the same for his wife and for his family. That which we're going to leave is specifically his. And the reason for it, as we'll see, I think we'll actually see this said directly, is because it's not the creditor's problem. He has an obligation to support his family. The creditor doesn't have an obligation to support his family. So therefore, they will have to get from tzedakah. Now, the creditor can choose to give them tzedakah, but he has no greater obligation than anybody else in the city. So that's why the food he's going to leave is only going to be for the borrower. Even though the borrower has an obligation to them.
Is there an overarching principle about why you're obligated to the borrower?
Yes, that's exactly what we're going to spend our time on. No, that's exactly what we're going to spend our time on.
Initially it sounds illogical to support the borrower's family, to allow him enough food.
So the question is going to be, why exactly am I giving anything to the borrower? So that's where we have to go with this, I think. V'afilu tafsa ha'isha l'parnasasa motzien mimena. Even if the woman actually grabs property from her husband's assets and says, well, this is going to be for my support, we say, I'm sorry, you don't have a right to that, and we take it away. And even if, by the way, he doesn't say this here, but we'll see, even if the marriage predated the loan. So technically, she's going to tell the creditor, my claim comes before yours. The answer is no, it doesn't. V'cheinim lav sala mezono seha, ein chov ha-mezonos kodim mal v'zeh. And also, if she borrowed money in order to be able to get food for herself, the debt for her food does not come before paying back this creditor of the husband. In other words, again, it's not his problem. That's the point. So
even if the loan, it must be that the loan precedes the loan that's in default.
Well, yes, because otherwise why would I ask the question? Right. Okay.
So when they, I'm sorry to ask so many questions. When they say the wife doesn't have any claim, are they literally looking at the ketubah and looking at what she's entitled to under the?
Well, there is a basic obligation to provide your wife with food. The Ksuba doesn't say what that is. The Ksuba just says you have to feed her.
Right.
But the Gemara talks about what the minimum is for food.
Gemara from the husband?
Yeah.
But that has no relevance vis-a-vis the lender?
Correct. The lender only has to leave a month's worth of food to the borrower himself.
Right.
So we need to discuss this. All of this has to be expanded upon. And the way the Pesachei Choshen introduces it is by doing it in terms of the standard that we set, that we treat him like your average person within the city. Because the question comes up, what if until now, he normally ate extravagantly. He ate like a wealthy person. Remember the rule of tzedakah, of de machsoro. When I come to give somebody tzedakah, I am supposed to support him, ideally, to the level to which he is accustomed. We're not applying that here. We're saying average. And if he's been, you know, eating at, I don't know, what's that, the big place on Eglinton, the expensive place? Maron?
Maron.
So he's been eating at Maron every night? That's his problem. Now he's going to have to make do with Tovli. This is the way it works. So take a look at the Pesachei Choshen, where he's going to walk us through this issue at the bottom. Seif Katan Lamed Zayin is what you want. You want the Lamed Zayin. It is about 13 lines or so up from the bottom in the middle of the line. You see the Lamed Zayin? Mm-hmm. He quotes you Shulchan Aruch Verama Simen Tzadi Zayin Seif Chav Gimel. He says that's Zayin, and it is. It's the straight line here. I'm actually going to bring it for you on the sheet as source Dalet. You know what? Actually, let's go through the first sources that I bring there, because we'll need them in order to understand what's going on. Take a look, please, on the side sheet. Here. At source Aleph. The Rambam, in Hilchos Mal Vevelo, Perek Beis Halacha Beis, Yotzi, Mikol Asher Tasig Yado, Mazon Shloshim Yom, Uksus Yud Beis Chodesh, Mazon haroilo, uksus haroilo. When the creditor is taking the property of the borrower, he should remove from that which he's going to take, he should remove food for 30 days and clothing for 12 months. We didn't get to clothing yet in our Pesachei Choshen discussion. That's the next section. Mazon haroilo, food that is suitable for him, uksus haroilo, as well as clothing that is suitable for him. Lo achilas hazolalim, the Rambam writes, v'hasovin, not, when source Aleph on that sheet, not the food that would be eaten by a glutton. Okay, zolil v'sove, you may recall from Parshas Ki Teitzei to Ben Sorerum Mora. So not the type of food that a glutton and a drunkard is going to have. O b'nei malachim, or that princes will have. V'lo malbushay hapachos v'hasiganim, and also not the clothing that would be worn by a ruler. Ella kidarko. Rather, whatever is kidarko. Now, kidarko is a funny word. What does kidarko mean to you?
In his way, meaning what he was used to.
Correct, whatever he was used to. But he began by saying hara'uilo, that which is suitable for him. So this is kind of funny. But our assumption is that, as the Pesachei Choshen said, we're giving him whatever is normal. Not whatever is normal for him, but whatever he should be doing. That's the assumption. That's the Rambam. And then I brought you the Tur in source base. And the Tur writes, Yotzi mikol asher tasig yado mazon shloshim yom uksus yud beis chadashim mazon haro'oilo uksus haro'oilo kidarko. So he begins with almost verbatim from the Rambam, 30 days of food, 12 months of clothing, food that is suitable for him, clothing suitable for him, kidarko, according to his way. Once again, we've got that word thrown in at the end. He just dropped the part about, you know, drunk ruler and so on. Take a look at the language in the Shulchan Aruch, source Gimel. It is Rambam straight, right? Yotzi mikol asher tasig yado mazon shloshim yom uksus yud beis chodesh mazon haroi lo uksus haroi lo lo achlas hazolim vasovim o bnei malachim v'lo malbusha pachos vasaganim ela kidarko. Right? Shulchan Aruch is lifting it right out of the Rambam. So far so good? Take a look now at source Dalet, please. Source Dalet is what the Pesachei Choshen is quoting that we read in Yud Zayin. Misadrin Mabalchov. We do this sidur, this arrangement on behalf of the creditor so he can get the debtor's property. Ketzad haso. Omer lelova. We tell the borrower. Havei kolam etaldalim sheyeshlach. Bring all the movable items you have. Velo taniach afilu machat achas. Don't leave even one needle. In other words, he doesn't have the liberty to say, well, this isn't what they're going to take. You bring everything out. And in the Ramah, he adds, "Vafilu klei ochal nefesh." That includes the kitchen implements. V'nos nelo mehakol mazon shloshim yom. And then out of that we give him 30 days of food. Rama says, kebenu nishe ba'ir. Like an average guy in the city. Afal pi sha'achal tchila ka'ani. He talks about bumping the guy up, which we haven't entertained yet. He was living off of bread and water. No, you don't have to live off of bread and water. We're going to give you 30 days of normal food. If you see parentheses there, he's quoting the Nemuka Yosef. Okay, that's an important point. See, both of his previous lines came from the Nemuka Yosef on the Gemara above Mitzia. God willing, we're going to come to that Nemuka Yosef in an attempt to understand what exactly is going on in what's being left for the borrower. He continues, Uksus Yudbeis Chodesh, and 12 months of clothing. Velosha Yilbash Bigdei Meshi, Omitznefa Zehuva, not for him to wear silk clothing, not to wear a gold hat. Ela Ma'avirim Osami Manu, we remove it. If he's got that, we take that off of him right away. Venosim Uksus Haru'uya Lalu Yudbeis Chodesh, and we give him clothing that will suit him for 12 months. So we have, from the Rambam, down to the Shulchan Aruch, a basic statement that you give that which is suitable for an average person, although we don't know what to do with the word kidarko, that showed up in the Rambam and the Tur. Okay, back in the Pische Choshen now, at Sif Katan Lamed Zayin, about 13 lines up from the bottom. He tells you that the Pische Choshen indeed drew it from Shulchan Aruch Ramah Tzadi Zayin Chav Gimel, which is what we just saw in Source Dalet. Even though he ate as a pauper until now, as the Rama noted, at first he was really eating only minimally in order to support his household with whatever money he had. Because you don't have to starve yourself in order to pay back your creditor. The creditor doesn't have the right to demand that. And then he quotes you the Sma. And the Sma is what I brought you in source Hay. So I think what I'd actually like to do is take a look at the Sma inside in source Hay before we see it in the Pische Choshen. The Sma writes, Av al Pseif Sma stands for Sefer Me'iras Einayim. It is written, I believe, by Rabbi Yeshua Falk. It is a standard commentary to the Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat. Rabbi Yeshua Falk is also known for writing the Prisha commentary on the Torah. So he writes, Av al pisha achal tchila ke'ani. Even though he originally ate like a pauper, they're such that he originally starved himself so that he could use the rest to feed his household. As opposed to now, we don't give them anything, right? We say for them, they're going to have to live off tzedakah, the household. He doesn't have to starve himself for the sake of the creditor. Starve yourself for your family's sake, fine. But not for the sake of the creditor. And then he says the same thing is true on the flip side. If initially he ate like a wealthy man, we will reduce from what he's used to, as we say regarding clothing. And then he says, V'ayin prisha. By my book, he says, right? He says, see the Prisha, which is his work. Sham kasavti, demashmos lashon harambam, ve'hivio aturva machaber breishtim and sadites, shakasav shenosnin mazon kidarko, lo mashmaktsas hachi. He says, well, the Rambam, and his words were quoted by the Tur, right? We didn't have this word in the Shulchan Aruch, but we did have it in the Tur. He says, the Rambam with his word kidarko doesn't necessarily agree with this idea that we're going to move him to average. Kidarko sounds like whatever he was used to before is what we're going to do for him now. So he says, I have a problem understanding what the Rambam is going to say. Utsrichin litchok ulefaresh kidarko kefi haraui lehios darko. So he says, what you're going to have to say is that the word kidarko means according to what is appropriate to be his derech. Kidarko won't mean what he is his derech, what he normally does, but what he should normally do. That's the way he's going to rewrite the word kidarko in order for the Rambam to be consistent. The Hainu Kimo Benoni, meaning like your average person. Shu Derech Hamitzua, because that's the middle road. V'roi Livnei Adam Linog Bo Al Pi Darkam VaHagasam, and that's what's appropriate for people to do, is to take the middle road. So the Sma has entertained the idea that we can explain Kedarko by retranslating it. Kedarko does not mean according to his normal behavior, but rather according to what ought to be his normal behavior.
It makes sense, because we don't know how he behaves normally, how he eats, how much.
Well, we would know
that. Just look at him and say, you know, he should be eating that much.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we could know.
His status in...
Certainly when you deal with clothing, we know what his... I mean, just look in his closet. We know what he wears. Eating may be a little harder, but even there. If we had to make it suitable for what he normally eats, we would. It's not doable. So that's a very interesting question. If I were to take Kedarko to mean whatever is his norm, then if he also has been starving himself, then he's going to go right on starving himself, unless I'm going to retranslate Kedarko. Correct. Absolutely correct. So now let's go back into the Pesach Choshen, where he quotes this Sma. The Kasav HaSma. Right? Everyone have it? It's 10, 11 lines up from the bottom, beginning of the line. Because of a sma sham, the sma said that the opposite is true as well. Initially it talked about where he was eating as a pauper. So the sma says also where he was eating extravagantly. If he normally ate like a wealthy person, we still only leave him as an intermediate person. And so is ruled in the Shulchan Aruch Harav of the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. Fine. Ubedas Harambam mistapek hasma, but the sma wasn't sure what the Rambam believed, and that's because of the word kedarko, as we have already seen. Uba Aruch HaShulchan Kasav, and then he says something regarding the Aruch HaShulchan. We'll see the Aruch HaShulchan in a moment, but we'll read the sentence here first. Uba Aruch HaShulchan Kasav Shem Haya Ragil Kaashir Nos Nilo Gam Achshav Kaashir. The Aruch HaShulchan disagrees. He's going upstream here. He says if the guy was eating like a wealthy person before, then he's going to get like a wealthy person now. And he linked that, the Aruch HaShulchan linked it to the Gemara in Ksuvos, which we'll also see. And he says, clothing is different from food. Because if a person is lacking from his normal garb, he's used to wearing fancy clothes, and now he's not. So, alright, there's psychological pain, and we shouldn't disregard that, but he'll survive. As opposed to if you take somebody who is used to eating in a certain way, and his body was used to that, the pain will be greater when suddenly he's living on an inferior diet. That's the assumption the Aruch HaShulchan makes in order to distinguish between clothing and food. He'll say, regarding clothing, force him to go with the norm. Regarding food, we'll feed him as he is used to, and here it'll only be upward, presumably. In other words, Byron, he's used to eating better, we'll give him better. But if he's used to eating worse, we're not going to force him to eat worse in this circumstance. It's only that if he's been eating better, we'll match what he's used to, because there will be great pain. You can always give someone more, and he can refuse it. He could just say, I'll eat a little bit of it. Although, it depends, I suppose, in part on... This is an interesting question. What's the difference between the food of a normal person and the food of a wealthy person? Is it quantity or is it also type?
Both.
In other words, what I'm getting at is you have somebody who has been making do on bread and water. He wants to feed his family, he's been doing his best, and he just eats bread and water. Now you tell him, we're going to give you sushi as your diet. Is he going to be happy? That's what I'm wondering. If it's a matter of quantity, so I get it. Because he can always eat more or less of what we give him. But if it's a matter of the type of food, then I'm not so sure. I'm not clear on how this works.
Well, my impression is that we're not actually giving him anything. We're just discussing what to take away from him.
Keep in mind, I don't know if you were here yet when we said this, we will see that leaving him food includes leaving him the means of acquiring food. So it means money also.
So basically gives him money?
well, they're leaving him from what he already has. In the event that he doesn't actually have sufficient means within his property, then he can get it out of tzedakah. But this is talking about where he does have the means within his property. We're talking about, as Dan had pointed out, we're talking about food for 30 days. So, you know, you may have grain for 30 days around, but you don't have the rest of your diet for 30 days in your house. Clearly, we're talking about the means of acquiring food for 30 days. Yeah. Right, so the Rambam doesn't. All he says, he gives you definitions when it comes to the food. Right, but he doesn't say, whereas with the food he gave you, not like the gluttons and not like the princes. Actually, he did say, I'm sorry, Malbusheya Pachlagvas Ganim, the clothing of royalty. He did. The Aruch HaShulchan, well, let's see the Aruch HaShulchan, because to be fair, yeah.
What does it mean? So in the end, it say Hamazon Rabbeinu?
Yeah. Habachos v'hasaganim. See, I'll tell you. Yeah?
See, you're defining the food, but really the suit is dropping him to a level
below him. Well, we're saying below the level of princes. Mabushay pachos v'hasaganim. Later, others will define it. The Shulchan Aruch in Source Dalid brings in Big Day Meshi, Mitznefe Zehuva, silks and gold. But what's interesting to me, looking back at the language here, he says, Achilas Hazolim Vehasovim, the food of gluttons, that's quantity. Remember that when we talk about the Ben Sarer Umora and say he's Zolel Vesovei, we actually understand, as the Gemara explains, he's not eating high quality stuff, he's eating low level stuff. He's just eating a lot of it, and he's stealing to get it. That's part of what convinces me that the Ben Sarer Umora is about addiction. Because this isn't somebody who is getting quality. He's just eating everything he can get his hands on. But in terms of this, then, I wonder if that part of it isn't simply quantity. Maybe the Bnei Malachim part is different. But what we have right now is, for the most part, other than this odd word kidarko in the Rambam, which the Sma struggles to make sense of, a statement that you're going to go with whatever a normal person should be having, both in terms of clothing and in terms of food. The Aruch HaShulchan is the dissenting votes. Let's see the Aruch HaShulchan himself in Source Vav. The Ketzad Hu HaSidur, he asks, what does Sidur look like? Omrim HaBeisdin LaHalove. The court says to the borrower, "Have kol ha'maos v'kol ha'metalot l'mishayesh l'cha l'beisdin. Bring all of the money and all of the movables you have to beisdin. V'chein kol ha'karkos, and also all of your land. Obviously, you bring the deed. V'chol klei ha'malacha, and all the implements you use for work. V'chol klei ochel nefesh, and all the implements you use for preparing food. V'lo taniach l'cha klum. Don't leave anything for yourself." And from this they give him food for 30 days. The food is not wealthy, poor food, is intermediate. Even if he had been a pauper before, we're going to give him like a regular person now. Because food is just for him, meaning not for his family. I think because the point is that therefore we're not doing this for the whole family. It's really just him, since we're not doing it for the whole family.
So we're assuming that he's gonna keep them also.
No, that they're getting out of stucca. That was what we said in the beginning. V'im achal tchila ka'ashir nos nimlo gam ata ka'ashir. But this is where the Aruch HaShulchan goes off the reservation. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan says, if beforehand he ate like a wealthy person, then, gosh, he's going to eat like a wealthy person now too. Where did he get this from? The Aruch HaShulchan likes to give you his sources. Here he writes in the brackets, Kein Niroli Miksuvo Samach Zayin Amud Beis, which we're going to see in source Zayin. He says, I got that from the Gemara, as we're going to have to see. Ve'eno Domele Beged, Sheyis Ba'er. Mipnei shetzar hamazon ruba mishal baget. It's not like clothing, as will be explained, because, as we've already seen, food, the pain of food, he says, of lacking food, is different from the pain of lacking clothing. It's greater. And he continues to say, ubegadim nosnim lo al yud beis chodesh kara oilo. We give him 12 months worth of clothing as is appropriate. Va'afil lovash mikodim bigdei meshiom itznefe zehuvo sh'ari dvorm yikar m'shein derech rov anoshim bekach. Even if beforehand he had silks and gold or whatever valuable things that most people don't have. Ma'aviran osam imenu, we remove them from him. V'nosnim lo begadim beinonim. And we let him wear regular, normal clothing. Because again, he distinguishes because there's more pain involved regarding food than regarding clothing. So what's his source for this idea that with the food, we're going to leave him wealthy food? So he quoted Ksuvos Samach Zayin Amud Beis, and this is source Zayin. Take a look at the Brisa there. Tanu Rabbanan. Maisa ba'anshe galil ha'elyon shalakhu la'ani ben tovim echad mitzipori litra basar. Litra basar b'chol yom. That's the way it should be read. That period there is a mistake. It once happened in the upper Galil, there was an ani ben tovim. That means a pauper who came from good stock. He was from Tzipori. And every day, they would give him a liter of meat. So the Gemara says, litra basar marabusa. What's the big deal about a liter of meat? A liter is a volume measure. But it doesn't impress us. Like, what are you recording this for? Why did you give us this, like, oh, wow, they gave him a liter of meat. What is that? So, Amar Rav Huna, litra basar mishel ofos. So Rav Huna gives us the first answer. He says, because it wasn't just meat, it was poultry. And I added in brackets, based on Rashi, diyakiri, it's more expensive. Poultry being more expensive than meat for them. And that's a discussion that you find when they talk about what you're supposed to have for Shabbos. So I think it's Yerach HaShulchan in the Laws of Shabbos who mentions that that poultry was actually considered more expensive for them than beef. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know why that is, but as I state, that's what it says. The Iba Yisema, alternatively, it doesn't mean a liter of meat, but Belitra, I added in the word in brackets, Ma'os, Basar Mamash. It was a liter of coins that they used to buy him meat. So that's a more significant amount. Rav Ashi Amar, Hasam Kfar Katan Hayer. Rav Ashi gives us a third answer. He says, no, it was a tiny village there. So what? So I added in brackets based on Rashi that the problem you have in a tiny village is that they don't use a lot of meat. And therefore, you shech this animal to give him a liter of meat, no one's buying the rest. And so the Gemara continues, "B'chol yoma have a masadi chevasa amatulte." Every day they are destroying an animal for him. Because they're giving him a liter of meat, and then the rest of the animal is gone. No refrigeration.
Isn't that the Bal Tashrit?
It's not Bal Tashrit. It's for the sake of a mitzvah. That's the lesson. They're doing all of this just because they want to support him. I have a bunch of people I could send them. If they're looking for opportunities.
To sell the rest of it.
Yeah, but that's the point of this brisa, is to say, you give somebody that which is suitable for him, and the Gemara has other stories as well, you've probably learned them at other times, about the extent to which we go to support people in need. So, the statement right now, as we see it here, is that the Aruch HaShulchan says, just like in the Gemara in Ksuvos, we say that you're supposed to support an ani with food at whatever level he's used to, so too, when it comes to Sidur, you provide based on the level to which he is accustomed. Sidur is the term for what we arrange in order to pay off the creditor out of the property of the borrower. Yeah. So, the question is, I'm still missing something here. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to be saying that when it comes to food, we are going to provide for him like we provide tzedakah. So just as tzedakah is de machsoro, whatever he's lacking from what he's used to, so too, when it comes to sidur, we're going to provide him with de machsoro, whatever he's lacking from what he is accustomed to having. Right? That's his argument. What's the Nimuka Yosef's basis then? Well, the Nimuka Yosef said that that's not so, that we're only giving him like an intermediate person. Where did he get it from? So take a look at source Ches, please, where I brought you the Nimuka Yosef. The Nimuka Yosef says, Vimno b'ksasos nosein lo keses. If he's used to having cushions, we give him cushions. Miwim hayashal meshi, but if it was silk, mochrenoso, we sell it. Vinosnim lo arayilo. And then we give him something that's more appropriate. Delo kaimalon kamanda amar kol Yisrael ra'uyin la'osa itztala. We don't follow the view in the Gemara that all Jews deserve that itztala. An itztala is a fine jacket. The shitahi, that's a lone view. The law doesn't follow the lone view. What's he talking about? He's talking about source test. Let's see source test. Maybe I should have put it first. The source test is the Gemara he's quoting. Hareshayu notion bo elef zuz. Somebody owes 1,000 zuz. Vilavush itzdala bas mea mana. And he is wearing a fine jacket that is worth 100 mana, which is far more than the 1,000 zuz. So you can sell this jacket and pay off his creditors. Mashidin osa mimenu. So we remove it from him. Umabisham oso itzdala haru'yola. And you give him a jacket that's more suitable for him. Vitana mishum Rabbi Yishmael, Vitana mishum Rabbi Akiva, Kol Yisrael Reuyin Laosa Itzdala. To which the response is no, because every Jew deserves a fine jacket. Don't tell me he doesn't deserve it. We are descendants of princes and kings. We deserve to have finery. So therefore, you can't do that. So the Nemuka Yosef says that's a fine sentiment, but it's not halacha. That's a shita. That's somebody's view. Okay. But it's not halacha. The halacha is that he does not have automatic right to claim a fine jacket. It doesn't work that way. Clear? That's what Nimuka Yosef says. He says the conclusion of the Gemara is he gets a jacket, not a jacket. So going back to source Ches now. Umiu Kasab Hara Azal, he quotes a Rishon, Rav Aaron Halevi, also known as the author of the Sefer HaChinuch. Although don't tell him that, because he wrote it anonymously. But it's thought that he's the author of the Sefer HaChinuch. But the Ra'a writes, D'chiamrinon she'ein mosifin al hamuat, davka b'klei umnus. He says, the Ra'a writes, Rav Aaron Halevi writes, when we say that you don't add to the minimum, that's talking about when it comes to tools of his trade that we're going to leave him. Al b'mazo and shloshim yom uksus yud beis chodesh. When it comes to food for 30 days, clothing for 12 months, shaman lola olam b'beinunis. Then we go based on the intermediate. Al pi shemit chilo hayamar ivat smo v'lovesh begadim mitulain. Even if initially he was wearing patched clothing and he was starving himself, so he says the Ra'az view is if he was going with minimal food or clothing before, we're going to bring him up to the intermediate level. But the Nemuka Yosef's view is no. Nemuka Yosef's view is we leave him. The Nemuka Yosef is agreeing with the Ra. He says if he was going with something that was more valuable, like this more expensive jacket, we're going to bring him down to earth. But the Ra says if he was going with something that was less valuable, we're going to bring him up. We want him to be at an intermediate level. So where the Aruch HaShulchan, writing late, he's the beginning of the 20th century, takes the position that we compare it to tzedakah. The position of the Nemuka Yosef is that we do not. The Nemuka Yosef says this isn't about tzedakah. And it's not. It's about paying back a creditor, right? We said in the very beginning, we were going to ask the question, where does this whole law of Sidur come from? I think that was Michael's question. So this is what we ultimately have to answer. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to be explaining this as something of a function of tzedakah. And therefore, in tzedakah we say, stay at your natural level. Stay at the level you're used to. So that's what we're going to do for you. The Nemuka Yosef is rejecting that comparison. And the Nemuka Yosef is saying, Sidur is a law unto itself.
What would be the scenario that he can't pay his debts, but he's not Raoui Letzedaka?
Sorry?
He can't pay his debts.
Yeah.
Why isn't he Raoui Letzedaka?
He may be, but we're not going to put that burden on the creditor. The creditor can choose to give tzedakah. We're not going to compel him. In other words, pay him back, and then he can give him whatever he wants.
The same halacha should apply, that we have to maintain him at his level.
Okay, but that's not an imperative for the creditor personally, that he should be the only one who's going to do it. Let him get paid back first. That's like saying otherwise. We had a discussion months and months ago about the pauper who comes into the store and says, I'd like you to give me food. And the owner of the store says, well, this is how I survive. Yeah, you can't just demand of him and expect him to give. You pay him back the money you owe him, and then he can give you tzedakah. But you can't force him to do that any more than you could force him to give mizonos to the borrower's family. That's not... You can't compel that. You can't legislate that. But we're not done, because it's really not that simple. In other words, when I reached this point, I said, oh, isn't that neat? Two different explanations of the laws of Sidur. One explanation is that it's a function of tzedakah, that's the Aruch HaShulchan, like the Gemara in Ksuvos, and one explanation that it's actually a law that's about loans, and it's about how we take care of people from loans, and therefore, we're not going to look at what he's used to, we're going to look at some intermediate level, because that's the law of loan collection, that you shall not abuse the person, give him whatever is normal for the 30 days, for the 12 months, and that will be the position of the Nimuka Yosef. It's never quite so clear-cut, though. But you take a look at Source Yud. Source Yud is the halakha that immediately precedes Source Aleph. Source Aleph was the one where the Rambam gave us the laws about leaving him food and clothing. So take a look at Source Yud, the Rambam writes, Din Torah, it is a biblical law. Shebizman sheyidva hamalva eschovo, that when the creditor demands payment of his debt, if the borrower has assets, we arrange for the creditor to get them, and we'll leave the borrower the rest. That's what the Rambam writes there. On that, the Magid Mishnah in Source Yud Aleph says, I'm going to tell you where the Rambam got this. Din Torah Shebizman, Ze Pashut, Shalomatzinu Bishum Makom Chiyuv Guf, Machmas Mamon, Velo Shavua She'enlo. He says this is obvious, because we have never found that there's an obligation for a person to give a pound of flesh, right? No offense to the British among us, to give part of his body for in exchange for money. And also to swear that he doesn't have. That last note isn't relevant for us. But the point is that he says the law of Sidur, and this is what I think the Nimuka Yosef is saying, it's a function of credit. And what we're saying is, you don't have the right to take every last penny, because that would be like taking his body. The clothing he's using for a year is like his body. The food he's using for the next month is like his body. You don't have the right to take that away from him. That's what I wanted to say, is the Nimuka Yosef's idea, what the Rambam is saying here. That's the way I wanted to look at it. So what's my problem? My problem is, then why is it that regarding clothing, he doesn't say also give him what he's used to? That's the weakness in my argument. Why is it regarding clothing, he doesn't do that? The Aruch HaShulchan does believe that regarding clothing, they machsoro applies. When you're dealing with tzedakah, he writes it in Reish Nun Zay, in Reish Nun Seif Aleph. I didn't bring it on your sheets. I ran out of room. But it's clear that he does believe the principle of demachsoro applies to clothing. So that's the flaw in what I'm suggesting here. If he really believed it was about tzedakah, then he should have applied it to clothing too, and not simply said, "Well, clothing involves less pain than food." So I'm a little bit stuck on that topic. But other than that, I think it's a really nice and neat kind of division there, or two different ways to look at Sidur. So I have to answer that question that remains that I don't have a response for yet. Coming soon, maybe.
So when we say Lo Matzinu Chiyuv Guf, so what about Eved Ivri? Or a variant thereof?
Yeah.
Where basically you can sell someone based on financial obligations.
Basin cannot sell someone based on financial obligations. In the case of the thief, right, there's a specific law that in the case of theft, Basin is able to sell him. But he's not being sold permanently, and his body is not bought.
Can't Basin say that's a paradigm for what we can do to someone? Instead of 6 years, we'll sell you for one, and you'll go free at the end, and you'll earn back whatever you owe.
We don't have sale of an Eved Ivri post, post Yoshveha Aleha, the Jews living in Israel anyway. So that's not going to be an option.
The say that it's obvious that Sidur comes from the Torah, because one must see to something else. It's more logical to say that we have no idea what say where Sidur comes from, and it would be more logical to say that a variant of Eved Ivri is from the Torah.
I know. In Eved Ivri, Dailach HaChidusho, you know, it's enough that you have the novelty that you have. I wouldn't go expanding Eved Ivri.
But it's a more source of the Torah than a Sidur.
Unless you're going to say that the basis for it is that you can't take someone's body as payment. I mean, and that's a general rule. That's true. The other, you can't even force someone to take a job to pay off his debts, right, as we've seen. The only question I have, I was wondering when I learned this, maybe you can actually tie it to the pasuk of Sihyalo Kenoshe. Right? The pasuk that says, you shall not be like a creditor, meaning somebody who's going to take everything from someone. So I thought maybe you could tie it to that pasuk as a possibility. Maybe. I mean, fundamentally, what this is about, as the Nimka Yosef will take it, and as the Magid Mishnah takes it, is the fundamental question of, when you say, I can take his assets, where does he, his body, stop, and his assets begin? And we're defining a threshold. That's really what it seems to be. Okay. That was all Lamed Zion. We still have a lot more to see here. I don't know what time it is and whether we're going to be starting Minchah 8:13. We have 2 minutes. Let's see Lamed Ches. I mean, someone calls it for Minchah. Lamed Ches. The Shulchan Aruch writes, "V'im ein lehem ma le'achol, yisparnesu min ha'tzedaka." If they don't have something to eat, we're at Lamed Ches. It's 6 lines up from the bottom. If they don't have something to eat, meaning the family, because we said the family is not being supported by the creditor, so yisparnesu min ha'tzedaka. Let him get tzedaka. She'en amal v'chayev lefarnes b'nei beiso shalova yosem yishar b'nei ha'ir, because the creditor has no obligation above and beyond what anybody in the city does in terms of support for them. Because of Hasma, Sivka Nun Zayin, Sha'ava Pisham Zonos, Ishto Ksuso Ksusa, Chayav Midal Raisa, granted that the obligation to feed and clothe his wife is the borrower's biblical obligation, Afilu Hachi, even still, Hamalve Hameuchar, Linisuah, Kodem La. A lender who became a lender after the guy married her still has first claim. Why? Because the Torah only obligates the husband to do this if he has the means. And maybe in the Ksuba he says, and I will work and I will get a job, whatever it is. But still, it's only as long as he has the means. That's his technical obligation. But he's not. Even the food we're giving him is the creditor's food. He is not obligated to give her food. And he says see the ktos for more on this topic. Alright. I think if we should race through Lamed Ches. Should we do Lamed Ches? Yeah, let's do Lamed Ches quickly. Lamed Ches, the Shulchan Aruch writes. The Shulchan Aruch is the source for what we had said in the Pesach Choshen, that even if she grabs property, she can't keep it. So he says, V'ashach, the Shach in Sadi Zayin, Tesvav, B'shem HaBach, quoting the Bach, Kasev Shetfisa Mahani, Ve'emotzim Imenu, says that, no, if she grabs stuff and says, this is going to be my Mizonos, she gets to keep it. You don't take it from her. And the Shach says, yeah, but we don't do that. He says, even the Bach only believes that she can do this and it will be effective if the husband has gone overseas. So that she has a claim now for this current support. If the husband gave her, before going away, he gave her stuff for Mizanos, then you don't take it away. Because no worse off than any other recipient of a gift. Where we say that. So where the husband's given her something, that's a different story. Alright, good. We'll pick up with that, God willing, next week.